We take what we can get.
I mean, I can get the cattle prod out.
You charge for the first mile. Are you going to introduce yourself or not?
No.
Hi, this is Ken Hankey, one half of the Elitist Bastards. My compatriot, Justin Souther, is on a marathon sulk and
he's
is
tired.
Not going to introduce himself because he's saying he's tired, but the whole thing is he doesn't have
he's
the energy,
mutter.
And his knickers are in a twist because he didn't get credited for something in the paper that he wrote. Therefore, he will not introduce himself, but he will indeed discuss these movies.
I won't say it. I was going to say that I'm the genius behind Street Style, and it's time everybody knew. I'm sick of not getting credit.
Justin Allie Marshall Souther.
Fucking love polka dots, man.
So in any case, we are the movie critics for the Mount Express, even though I'm not sure Justin's owning up to that fact at this moment.
Nobody knows.
No, that's true. And we've no, they think I write it.
This is totally your opportunity to defend, though. You should absolutely complain on record about what's going on, about why I've ruined your day.
Yes, why don't you explain?
I wrote an Action Fest article.
Yes, you did.
And then I looked through it, and my name's not on it. Nobody's name is. It was written by God, I guess, is what.
Gremlins.
It's from the ether. It's the
right. It just
and
appeared
Steve's,
like genie
Steve's
from
inbox.
The bottle. It's wonderful, actually, if you stop and think about it.
I know. It's a magical article.
That's true.
If only we knew who wrote it. It's so good.
It is. It
we
is.
Need to get
it
to
is
the,
you know,
to
Tolstoy should look to his laurels.
I bet Salinger wrote it before he
probably
passed away.
Yeah.
It's the lost.
It's a little known fact, but Salinger was a real fan of action movies.
That's true.
That's right. The bloodier, the better. I heard him say that once.
So where are we?
We are...
at the Carolina Asheville.
Yes, we are. In the Cinema Lounge.
On Hendersonville Road. In South
Hendersonville.
Asheville.
Yes,
in the
yes.
Cinema Lounge.
That's right.
Upstairs in the Cinema Lounge.
In the bar.
At the bar. Can't be in it. I could probably fit.
You could try.
And what have we done this
week? We've been to the movies. That's all we ever do is go to the movies.
So whose fault is that?
I don't know. We
That's
asked
you
for
kind
this.
Of brought this on yourself. Kim.
Yeah, and then
Let's
I dragged
honest.
You in onto it.
Yeah.
So, it's a, yeah, that's
you
true.
You can't complain about going in the movies when you're a film critic and you decide to give host free movies twice a week.
Yeah,
exactly.
Probably so.
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
But you can complain about Hop.
Oh, God, can I complain about Hop? Oh, Jesus, can I complain about Hop? Oh, my Lord.
Why don't
Lord.
You? Let's do
Hop.
This, Ken. Let's go.
Is truly, truly
Wonderful.
Dismal.
Oh.
Oh, God, is it dismal. It is so dismal. I said it in the review, but it bears repeating here. The highlights of this movie were a small, screaming child being taken from the building. And
it was not Ken.
It was not me. No, I understood this child. And then, towards the end of the film, when the peril was out of the way, a bright lad, a charming lad, I would shake this lad's hand, said loudly from the front of the theater, I wanted the rabbit to die. This was the highlight, trust me.
Are you saying a rabbit that poops jelly beans is not?
I refuse to
highlight.
Use that word. The rabbit shits jelly beans.
Okay.
I'm not PG, the movie is. Yes, and that, however...
Would you eat those jelly beans?
Probably
though?
Not.
If you didn't know?
Well,
you
I mean,
like
I may have done
beans,
it any number of times without knowing if this movie is indeed the height of veracity, which I doubt. Then, however, we do have all the people in the magnificent world of the internet talking about how this movie is blasphemous. So
doesn't that make you like a little bit better?
No, it just makes me hate humanity that much more.
Okay.
The premise is that 37-year-old James Marsden is still living at home, and his parents throw him out.
How old is his parents? To be?
Well, 37 is how old he actually is, which makes this whole thing creepy. He has no friends, he has no boyfriend, no girlfriend, no friends of any kind. He apparently has no sex drive either. Okay. They throw him out, and he accidentally almost kind of sort of runs over E.B., who is the son and heir apparent.
Did you say heir apparent?
Yeah, I wrote it that way, too. It better have stayed that way. Okay. To the Easter Bunny tradition. He is the new Easter Bunny, replacing his father, the old Easter Bunny. And but he wants to be a drummer, so he has run away through this elaborate series of underground paths to Hollywood to seek stardom.
It sounds stupid.
It is stupid.
Okay.
Anyway, he teams up with James Marsden because Marsden thinks he's done the rabbit a damage. And Marsden is, for reasons that I've never completely understood, house sitting for some rich guy. And of course the rabbit trashes the house, among other things. It just goes and goes and goes. You don't care.
No.
Okay, so
why Steve asked what it was about.
I don't know, because Steve is funny that way. You know, he likes to know what rabbit movies are about, so. Steve has this thing about rabbits. He once told me, tell me more about the rabbits, but that was another story entirely, I think. Anyway.
You missed one byline.
Hey, I'm not even bitching at you about that. I bet you had everything else about the paper, but not that.
Could have been my big break.
It could have been. Hollywood offers could have been pouring in at this moment as we speak if you hadn't screwed up.
My perfect record now ruined.
Wait a minute, what about that? No, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, anyway, I do not recommend this movie. I do not recommend this movie for anybody. I doubtless will receive letters from some woman in California whose feelings have been hurt because I did not love this movie. Tough.
Only boring people are bored.
Only people with way too much time on their hands send spurious letters castigating movie critics for not liking Romeo and Juliet. Fitting ends.
So let's move on to Source Code.
Now that's yours.
It is.
Yes.
And it was actually good.
I hear.
Yes. It's directed by Duncan Jones, who is
Zowie Bowie.
Yes.
Yes.
David Bowie's
offspring.
Youngin. And much like his first film, Moon, it's an intelligent science fiction film. It's not boring and not... It's not Solaris, let's put it that way.
Okay.
But unlike Moon, it's more of a bid to get a mainstream audience. I don't know if it's completely done that, but...
Well, it's done more of it than...
The Moon.
And
I doubt it cost them that much to make. There's basically three sets on the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of gross, it came in third. In terms of per screen, it came in... No, in terms of gross, it came in second.
Right.
In terms of per screen, it came in third.
Okay.
Insidious did better when you break it down in the number of prints.
But the film is... has this sort of far-fetched idea that Jeffrey Wright is this sort of partially crippled scientist working for the government has developed this way of transporting people into the minds of other people, other dead people, for the last 8 minutes of their life, with the idea that this can be used to fight terrorism.
Now, is there a limit on this? I mean, like, could you be put in the mind of the last 8 minutes of Abe Lincoln if you wanted to?
Well, they never quite explain, like, how long they can keep beaming people in to this, the source code,
Oh, okay.
That they call it. And they kind of describe it as an afterglow of these people that can still find
so
them.
So you figure that a guy that's been dead for a lengthy period of time probably doesn't glow a lot.
They probably couldn't find it at that point. But there's definitely, like, apparently certain criteria you have to meet to match up and able to be transported. So really, as far as, like, when you think about it, as far as, like, a useful tactic for the government, it's not very... It doesn't make much sense. But...
But it's nonetheless entertaining.
Yes, it's good. It's... It moves along quick. It's clever. It becomes... I mean, it's clever, it moves quick, it's entertaining. The parts where they're dealing mostly with the mystery of who blew the idea is that Jake Gyllenhaal's been sent into this person who's been blown up on the train so he can find out who blew the train up and stop him from...
Blowing up something else.
Yes, okay. He's going to detonate a dirty bomb in Chicago.
They cannot, however, stop the train from blowing up.
Because it's already been blown up.
Uh-huh, okay.
But... As the film progresses, this becomes sort of... It's science fiction with ideas. It ties a lot into what Moon was talking about with identity and evil. Maybe not necessarily evil, but the lengths people will go to take advantage of others when they're in a position of power. But it also sort of questions the idea of destiny and these things. So, for fans of science fiction, intelligent science fiction, I think they'll enjoy it a lot. I would definitely recommend it. It's a bit sentimental, but I think it works.
All right, so what else do we have?
I don't know. What did you watch?
Other than Hop?
Oh, you watch Insidious.
Yes, I did see Insidious. Yes, Insidious.
Or is people keep calling it Insidious.
Insidious. Aren't those trees that...
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Insidious.
Kind of tree, I think. It's, yeah. No, Insidious is a new horror film from James Wan, and it was written by his writing sometimes partner, Lee Whannell, and these are the boys who dreamed up Saw. Yeah, I know. They also dreamed up Dead Silence, which I liked a whole lot. This is much more in the mode of Dead Silence, except it's a little bit classier in that they have managed to make a scary haunted house spook ride of a movie, and they've done it PG-13, and it will still make you jump.
Right.
It doesn't need it. It's.
Does it have a twist ending with the Saw music at the end, where they
only,
or the dead silence?
Only barely.
Okay.
It has an ending that I didn't think was necessary, but it
does it have a human ventriloquist dummy?
No, it doesn't have anything nearly as silly as that. I mean, it's the film is probably indefensible in a lot of respects. Because it basically is. It's a spook house ride. That's all it pretends to be. And on that level, I thought it was almost brilliant. It didn't start off where I immediately took to it. But by the time things started happening, I had absolutely no complaints with this movie. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I would go see it again. It did everything I wanted it to do. Plus, it had Tiny Tim singing Tiptoe Through the Tulips on the soundtrack. Twice. It borrows a lot of stuff from other movies. Poltergeist. Only Poltergeist never scared me. I won't say this scared me. This I did find this creepy. People say that when you see the demon, it looks like Darth Maul. That did not occur to me. It did occur to me, however, that it owes more than a little bit to the monster and the Jeepers Creepers movies. But no, this is enough to me to, you know, be a downside to the film. I really, if you do like horror pictures, I really can't understand why you would not like this. I mean, it doesn't reinvent anything. It's nothing new under the sun. But for what it is so extremely well done that I probably actually will go see it again.
You'll go see it or you'll wait for it on DVD?
I'll try to go see it. It probably won't happen. We know how that works. The Film Society. What is the Film Society doing next week?
Blonde Venus.
Blonde Venus. Oh, yes. And where is it doing this?
Cinema Lounge.
Same place we are now.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And it's at 8 o'clock on Tuesday.
Yes.
And that's the 12th. And it's free. Free. You know, completely free.
All that.
And we are indeed showing Joseph von Sternberg's Blonde Venus with Marlene Dietrich. And so if you liked Shanghai Express and the people who came, they packed the place, they sure did like Shanghai Express. You might like this too. It's not as good of a movie as Shanghai Express, but now look. This is a movie in which Dietrich wears a gorilla costume, strips off the gorilla costume, puts on a blonde afro, and sings Hot Voodoo in front of a chorus line of spear-bearing native girls. What else can you ask for from a movie? Really, seriously. You get to see her in a white, blazingly white tie and tails, singing another song. It's a great story of sacrifice. She becomes Cary Grant's mistress, what a sacrifice that is, in order to help get the money for her husband's cure for radium poisoning. She sacrifices her son. She loses her child. It's soapy, but it's really great soap. And if you really have the mindset for it, although I suspect Dietrich is not one of them, you do get to see a bunch of naked women swimming around in the water at the very first part of the film. So, you know. And it's, again, beautifully photographed, like all the Sternberg-Dietrich films are. So it's definitely highly, highly recommended. And on Friday of this week, that would be April the 8th, at 7:30 p.m., the Asheville Film Society is having what we call a benefit showing, which means we paid money for this movie and you're going to have to pay money to see it. It's $5 for members and $10 for people who aren't members to see Hal Ashby's Harold and Maude with Ruth Gordon and Bud Cort. And I can't imagine there are too many people who have never seen this film, but I don't know how many people have actually seen it on a screen. And I'm sure that almost none of the people who have seen it have seen the film with the guy who did the stunts, giving a Q&A after the film, which we are going to have, Buddy Joe Hooker. And it's funny because I saw the film again today because I was checking the copy to be sure it was fine. And there really are far more stunts in this than you would imagine. There's an awful lot of driving that I'm sure Ruth Gordon is not doing. I would kind of like to know how the exploding Buddhist monk was handled too, and maybe he knows that. I've kind of figured out how the car goes over the cliff, but you know, really, come out, support us, and see this, and bear in mind that the auditorium we're in, what, number six?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number six has only about 100 seats in it, so tickets, which I believe are on sale now, are on sale now. I would really suggest going ahead and getting them because it doesn't take long to fill up a 100-seat auditorium. We hope.
What do we have this upcoming?
Oh, it's a disgusting array. What do we have?
Hannah,
which may not be disgusting.
I'm curious about it.
I am curious.
Because I've been waiting for Joe Wright to stop making Oscar bait. And I'm just...
Well, you know, if anything would cure you from making Oscar bait, The Soloist would be that movie. Because that was Oscar bait that just failed so miserably.
Right.
You know, Atonement and Pride and Prejudice are both good films.
Right.
I think Pride and Prejudice might be a little bit better film. But I think this may be a little bit surprising from what I can gather. I mean, when I first saw the trailer, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. And then I start seeing the names on it. I'm like, what is this?
Right.
Because it's like, you know, Cate Blanchett and even the girl whose name I'm not going to attempt to pronounce.
Right.
And Eric Bana is not a great actor, but he's, you know, in usually fairly respectable things. And then I saw Joe Wright's name, and I'm like, this is really weird for this movie about a 16-year-old girl assassin.
Right.
So I'm significantly curious
I'm
now.
I'm betting a dollar right now that Cate Blanchett is her mom.
I'm betting that it has something to do with that, yes. Or that she's genetically engineered.
Right.
You know, something of this nature. Okay.
Or both.
Or both. It could be both. It could be both.
We also have Soul Surfer.
Soul Surfer, which Mr. Souther has
kindly
decided that he will be the one who falls on the sword and watches Soul Surfer. Which is probably good, because I had the misfortune of seeing Soul Surfer's trailer immediately after having watched Rango. And if you've seen Rango with his terrarium with the one-armed Barbie in it,
right.
And then to go to see a trailer for this movie where a one-armed surfer girl shows how upset she is by ripping the arm off her Barbie, it's really hard not to burst out laughing. It's a fact-based, faith-based movie about a girl who very carelessly gets her arm eaten by a shark, and after the requisite several reels, I'm assuming, of moping about over this, she decides she wants to become a surfer again, and so she has to learn it all over again. It's apparently true life, and it's all uplifting, and I'm sure we'll have swelling music and crane shots, and I am so glad I'm not watching it.
Where is my own personal curiosity, where is the faith-based part coming from? Because I saw the trailer and I didn't see anything about God in it. But.
Apparently there is. And apparently the real person is all keen on Jesus.
I mean, that's what happens when God lets your arm get bit off by a shark.
Yeah, that would make me real keen on Jesus. Thanks a lot, you know.
It's what Jaws was, basically.
And then, what else we have?
Your Highness.
Oh, yes. The other movie that you're watching.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you tell them what that is?
Well, it's from David Gordon Green, who made Pineapple Express, but before that was making lots of
indie
navel-gazing type fare.
Now watch out, the School of the Arts Nazis will be on you for saying anything against David Gordon Green.
This time around, it looks more in the vein of Pineapple Express, except...
It's set in medieval times.
Yes. I'm assuming there's weed jokes in it, since Highness is in the title. I don't see how else that
would work. Yeah, there's definitely some sort of stoner comedy.
James
aspect.
Franco trying to atone for the Oscars, and Danny McBride trying to atone for
living.
Being Danny McBride.
What did Natalie Portman do to deserve this? I understand the connection with James Franco. He was in Pineapple Express. I understand Zoe Deschanel. She was in All the Real Girls. What did Natalie Portman ever do that she's ended up in a David Gordon Green movie?
Paycheck.
Oh, okay.
Black Swan's not paying the bills, can he?
Could be.
So, I don't know. It doesn't look... I've seen worse looking things.
No, it's probably not the worst looking thing, especially on a week where you've got Soul Surfer.
Right. So.
And there is the remake of Arthur.
Yes. Which actually, I don't think that looks that bad either.
I don't think it looks that bad, no. I mean, I think it looks brilliant compared to Your Highness. I'm not so in love with the old film that it is a problem for me. So remaking it does not bother me. Russell Brand has not exactly endeared himself to me as a performer so far. And especially after doing the voice of the Easter Bunny, I don't think he is, you know... He's not on my list right now. At least not on a good list.
But the trailer looks...
The trailer looks fairly amusing. I am really wanting to know whether or not they actually... If that trailer has been recut or redubbed.
Uh-huh.
Because have they taken the most famous line from the film, which is John Gielgud asking, "Shall I wash your dick, sir?" And actually made it, "Do you want me to wash your winky?" I'm hoping that's just for the trailer. I am seriously hoping. The best thing about the movie is probably going to be Helen Mirren anyway.
Right.
And Mrs. Affleck's in it, too. I've never quite understood why, but she's in it. I've never quite understood why she's in anything, but she's...
It's better
not,
than Elektra 2.
That's true. She's basically not obnoxious, but I don't see any real draw. So...
We shall see.
Yes, well... I shall see, since I'm going to do this one and Yeah. Hannah, yes. And you're going to do the two most obviously bad movies of the week, yes. And I'm sure that means you expect something in recompense at some point. He's trying to get out of that Smurfs movie, I know it.
And I guess the big thing.
The big thing. The big thing this week. Much bigger than movies. Much bigger than Soul Surfer.
Yes. It's Action Fest.
Action Fest, yeah. Yes. The film festival with a body count.
Yes. I don't know, I've been to some that I wish I was dead, but I won't name names because we know them personally. But
yes, well, that's true. Anyway.
Anyway.
18 movies.
Is that how many?
Yes, that's
plus
how many.
Plus some, I think.
18 plus some, because there's some plus sums, too, because the 18 are the 18 new films. And there are like four or five retro titles. That means old movies.
And then there's stuff in the lounge. It's all at the Carolina.
Yeah, apparently they must have done a deal with MPI for the lounge.
Right.
So.
And there's apparently, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this.
Some of the MPI titles, I think are the movies that you see clips of in the Filipino horror movie documentary.
And I have it on good authority, which I don't know if I'm supposed to say this.
All right, don't listen to this.
There'll be some stuff they're not saying that's going to be up here for various reasons. So there might be some surprises.
Oh.
So, as far as movies. And there's a whole... I mean, the film festival, there's guests. Buddy Joe Hooker, who we talked
about
earlier.
Hooker. That's why we have Buddy Joe Hooker for the Harold and Maude thing, is because...
There should be an interview with him online at some point. Preferably with my name on it.
Preferably with Justin's name on that. Yes, that would be good.
Michael Jai White will be here, who Ken knows from two Tyler Perry movies, because...
Being the Tyler Perry completist that I am.
But that's one of the free screenings that you're going to be doing is with him.
I could actually see Black Dynamite?
Yes.
At midnight?
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And then you and Mark from Orbit can finally duke it out over which is...
And whether it or Machete is better?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And you can also see Machete. That's free here.
Yeah, that's true.
On Sunday.
I've seen Machete.
Do you have
liked it.
I did too. What are you looking forward to?
Hobo with a Shotgun, of course. I don't, you know, you've seen it. I haven't.
I have seen it. It's pretty brilliant.
Because I'm too
trash.
Cheap.
Yeah, it's... Mm-hmm. Well, if I knew for sure I was going to be able to make it to a screening of it, I would have waited. But... It's iffy for me. So.
Iffy.
There's a hand. Like, there's that. 13 Assassins looks.
Yes,
interesting.
13 Assassins looks interesting.
I'm curious about Bellflower, even though I can't really find what it's about anywhere.
I'm still curious about Super, because even though it's gotten some really bad reviews, they're the kind of bad reviews that make me want to see the movie, because it's like, is this movie really this twisted and this screwed up that people don't like it because it's that disturbing? And if it is, I'm all for it.
Right. I keep forgetting Super's playing.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
Super.
Yeah, Super.
I should try and catch that.
That's definitely on my list of things to see.
There's documentaries. You liked
Machete Maidens. That was an Aces documentary. And you know, I don't like documentaries very much. So that's... If I enjoyed a documentary, that's saying something.
And I honestly found Fightville, which is this documentary they're showing about mixed martial arts, I thought it was really good.
And I will definitely say that Bunraku is unlike anything I have ever seen. I'm not saying that that's necessarily good, but it is not like anything I've ever seen before. It's sufficiently different that it's fascinating for a while.
Right.
Is it fascinating for 125 minutes? That's another story.
Right.
But there's a lot of stuff. I mean, you know.
And I don't think it's just necessarily if you're a big old action fan. I think there's the general cinephile.
You know, I would walk across the street to avoid most action movies. And this is not that kind of action movie. You know, if I want to walk across the street to avoid something, it's going to be like Steven Seagal movies or something, you know, like that. Not the kind of movie that I would want to sit through. This is sort of a different kind of action film.
And Ken's also looking forward to the fact that one of the shirtless werewolves from Twilight is going to be here. So.
Only if he's going to transform into a wolf the size of a Buick.
He might wear cut-off jorts. I think that's the best.
Is he
going to
come out of the cut-off shorts?
No, that never happens, Ken.
Oh. Yes, it does. They have little werewolf pockets. And
he'll just stare at you.
They put their clothes in them after they burst out of them.
One thing I want to make sure that gets mentioned is the local side of that, which is the 30 seconds of action screenings. Those are kind of interesting, because those are mostly local filmmakers, are they not?
I think some of them are. It was a national thing. I don't know exactly. But there was a film contest of 30 seconds of action where people could send in 30 second
action movies
doing something action packed.
That's true.
But those are, for the most part, I think local filmmakers.
Well, I guess we'll
find
out.
The one guy I talked to today, he dropped off his, and he was local. I asked him.
He was local. Okay.
So I wanted to know where he drove from if it wasn't to drop off his DVD.
Yeah, well, that would make sense. Yeah, I would be curious to know.
But yeah, there's a stunt show Sunday. All kinds of crap for you.
All sorts
whatever
of,
you
yeah.
want. Whatever tickles your fancy.
Everything, if you want your fancy tickle, yes.
Yes.
I'm going to
get shot out of a cannon.
Nobody told me about this.
We'll
discuss this later.
Okay. I guess that's it.
I think that probably does it. Yeah.
We'll be up here.
We'll be up here on and off. And Justin
Steve
will probably be up
here.
Will
be here. You can come bitch
that's
at him
right.
for leaving
you
my
come,
name off that article.
That's right. Everyone needs to come here, and they need to look for Steve Schanefeld. And when they see him, the big thing is to bitch at him because he didn't put Justin's name on the Action Fest article in the newspaper. And in fact, if you like, you can slap him. But he enjoys that sort of thing, so I'd watch it.
I guess we're done.
That's I think we're done. Yeah,
point.
Are we done?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm Justin.
Yeah,
Souther.
You are. Yeah, you
you're
are.
Ken
Hagee. Oh, you're over your snit. You're going to tell people who you are now. Okay. And I'm Ken Hagee. Yes,
we're
right.
We're latest bastards.
That's right.
We've been to the movies. We'll be back to the movies.
You have left out the fact that we come to you.
I was getting there.
Oh, okay. Well, then what are you going to say?
That we're brought to everyone by the Mountain Express. Even though some people might not know it because my name doesn't always get included.
That's true.
And everybody knows you are. I am as well. I just want to inform everyone.
Well, I'm aware that you are.
Well, thank you.
You know,
some people are unaware.
I know.
So
apparently, even our co-hearer seems to have some doubt as to the existence of Justin Souther and or his reality.
He just ignores me at this point.
I know. You know, and as a result, I don't think we're going to say who the show is cohered by this week. I think that's only fair. So
it's by Ken. Ken has done all of it.
I did it. I did everything. Yes, I did.
There.
So there.